Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
How do you behave when you are a terrorist? Like a Republican member of the United States Congress. It's September 30th, the last day of the federal government's fiscal year, and Republicans are still holding the American people hostage. Assuming monkeys don't fly out of John Boehner's butt in the next few hours, the government shuts down at midnight. It's estimated that the shutdown will cost our economy $21 million a day. Brace yourselves, America. This is going to cost every man, woman, and child in the U.S. Wait for it. 7 cents a day. That's right, we can spend 6 weeks drawing attention to how stupid, angry, selfish, and cruel Republicans are for the cost of one venti iced soy vanilla latte per person. That's a sacrifice I think we should all be willing to make. How to behave when you're Justin Bieber? Ask Vanilla Ice. Mr. Ice says that he knows the secret to save Justin Bieber from becoming a douche. You can read more on TMZ. In other important news, I recently got a haircut. It was a traumatic experience in so many ways, not the least of which was trying to figure out how much to tip the manicurist. The government is shutting down. The economy is going to crash. It's the end of the world. And we're going to talk about our hair. This is How to Behave, the haircut show. And the Republicans are still assholes on the Heritage Radio Network. To my right, as always, Hannah Howard.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hannah. Do you support terrorists?
I don't know a good answer to that question.
I asked you last week, and you didn't even know what I was talking about.
I still don't support terrorists.
Okay, good.
I still don't know what you were talking about.
With us in the studio also today.
Hello.
Kirsten Wagner.
What's up, guys?
Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kirsten is a professional hair stylist, hairdresser. How do you refer to yourself?
I would say hairstylist.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I say. I really don't
care.
What do other
people say? What's the industry standards?
People say hair cutter, which I don't know. It just sounds not good. And then pretty much hairstylist or... That's it, really. Or a barber. I'm a glorified barber.
You are.
I'm a glorified barber. Except that I do women's hair, too. So.
Do you? Okay. But you until recently, worked at a hair cutting place that specialized in men, right?
Yeah. Like he doesn't like it to be called a salon. He's very serious about that. So it has to be it's a men's grooming club.
A men's grooming club. Mm-hmm. That, yeah.
It's so very serious.
I didn't realize barber. That salon was a feminine... term.
You know what? If you say, if a guy says, oh, I'm going to go to a salon, it probably, I don't know. It does have a little bit of a feminine touch to it.
I always like my grandmother, may she rest in peace, she always referred to it as going to her beauty operator.
I like that.
Kind of awesome, right?
Beauty operator.
Gotta go to the beauty operator today.
Oh, I like that. You can call me that.
Yeah, you can be a beauty operator.
Yeah. That's going to be my new, new title.
Your Wall Street guys who come get their hair cut at your place will tell their secretary, you know, make me an appointment at the beauty operator.
Yep. God knows what they say to their secretaries. But when they can't get an appointment with me, they call me many things, none of which is beauty operator. But
none of which involves beauty.
Yeah. Nothing beautiful about what they're saying, I'm sure.
All right. Before we go on, I want to make one quick point about Obamacare. Before I go on to make many, many more points about Obamacare. Everybody should know at this point that Obamacare, the healthcare exchanges where people can go online and choose health insurance, go online tomorrow, October 1st. And that's for to buy health insurance that will start January 1st of 2014.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
I'm going to need that.
Right.
Yep, that's very important for me, actually.
You're a freelancer now, so you...
Well, I could either do freelance insurance or I can... I don't know. I'm going to look at my options.
Yeah, but starting tomorrow, your options change.
Right, that's why, yeah. So.
And there's a big myth. There are many big myths, and we're going to get to that in the quiz portion of the show. But there's a big myth that Obamacare is going to cost employers tons of money and make it, you know, put lots of businesses out of business. So my one point is that Obamacare doesn't require businesses to pay for their employees' health insurance. It just requires them to provide it. And that's only companies more than 50 people. So employees still have to pay for their own health insurance. This myth that it's going to bankrupt all these businesses who are suddenly going to have to pay for their employees' health insurance, simply not true.
Is this related to hair?
Not even remotely.
Wait, so is this, but is this, that mean it's going to be, what's the difference? Is it going to be less money? Is that what it is? We're just going to be paying less?
It's
hopefully.
It's way more complicated than just that. If you
give
currently,
it to me in simple terms,
if you
please.
Currently don't have insurance, mm-hmm. you're going to be required to get health insurance, and that's going to mean you're going to pay more than zero.
Okay.
But you're going to get health insurance for that. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
For individuals who are paying for individual health insurance now, the cost is going to drop overwhelmingly.
Oh.
Individual insurance costs a ton of money right now, and that's going to drop. For people who already have insurance through their employers, it's probably not going to change anything at all.
Can I ask one more question before
sure.
we go on? Okay,
I'll talk about this all day.
I know.
I'm excited
because
I'm
glad.
We don't have to get to hair.
Yeah, I want to talk about this real quick. So if I was on a plan through my job, and mm-hmm. then if I was going to stop working there, and you can switch it over to COBRA, mm-hmm. say I did that this before Obamacare even started, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Would that mean that it would drop dramatically because I was in, because COBRA was really expensive.
Right.
So
it doesn't change anything about the COBRA law. You still can have the COBRA insurance that you have through your former employer, mm-hmm. but you can go on to the healthcare exchange now and comparison shop and see if there's a healthcare plan that satisfies your needs that costs less, and chances are there
will
be.
Yeah, because it's like $500 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think for
there
yeah, it will be really interesting to see how it changes this crazy health insurance business.
Yeah,
because it's such a bizarre and
I don't get it.
Screwy. Well, it's really like overly complicated.
It's yeah. It, if you look at the whole law, it's very complicated. But if you figure out who you are, like where you fit in, and you only look at the part of the law that affects you,
yeah,
it's actually not
easy.
That complicated.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of websites where you can go look at stuff, but ObamacareFacts.org, I think it is, maybe .com, is one good place to look.
Okay.
And it has charts and stuff like that where it's like little boxes with arrows, and it says, you know, are you self-employed? Yes or no? And then you follow the arrow, and it says, you know, does your employer have more than 50 employees? Yes or no? And it leads you to a little box that tells you the basics of what you need to know. It's kind of cool.
Very good, Bri.
Okay, enough of
your public service.
Enough
how
of the
to
public service
announcement for today.
Until later in the show when I talk more about it.
Yay!
So, Kirsten.
Yes.
Full disclosure: until recently, you were my beauty operator.
Yes.
When you left your current employer to be a student and an artist, I'm very mm-hmm. proud of you for
Thank
pursuing
you.
That. But we're going to talk about how to behave when you go to get your hair cut. And I want to start by using my experience as a sort of roadmap through the whole experience.
Sure.
Cautionary tale.
And you can address how to behave along all the steps of the way. And I think I'm a good example because when I go into a beauty salon, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing.
And I sensed your nervousness just on the record.
The first time I came in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
I also met you about 2 weeks before I opened a restaurant, so I was a little high stress for reasons beyond my hair.
I know.
So, typical experience. Can we say the name of your employer? Is that cool? Your former employer? I don't mean it's just free publicity. Mm-hmm. They do a good job.
Yeah, no, they're great. We love them.
John Allen's.
Mm-hmm.
On 46 East 46th?
46 East 46th, and then there's other ones. One in Tribeca, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Wall Street.
What I love most about John Allen's on the east side of Midtown is that it's all guys in suits, and I roll in there in like cargo shorts and a t-shirt. And
yeah, there's like you and 10 other people in the entire place that aren't in, you know, a three-piece.
Yeah, I've never seen those other guys.
Are the guys in the suits nervous too, or is it just Brian?
No, they're all nervous in the beginning. It's kind of like a lot of them have had traumatic experiences previously, so they come in like not knowing what to expect.
But you traumatic know, experiences getting their hair done, or just in general?
I think getting their hair done. Yeah. Honestly,
I'm not surprised to hear that for women, but I am a little bit for men.
No,
I didn't
guys,
know their trauma was
actually one of my questions for much later, but I'll ask it now: is who's more neurotic about getting their hair cut, men or women?
Well, that is a good question. They're both equal, but they're different in different ways. I would say because men are they can be neurotic about weird things you wouldn't expect. You know, I have a lot of guys that they do weird things while I'm cutting their hair. Like they'll pick at one piece that's like popping out and they're like, what about this piece right here? Like they'll tell me specifically
like
a piece to cut.
Micromanaging?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm okay with it, but women are different. They don't necessarily do that. They just, they kind of want to look like something that might not be humanly possible. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, that's what I always tell my hairdresser. I'm just like, make it look good. Like, do something good to it.
Which is great. You know, I'm not saying that you always have to be, you know, like, oh, do whatever you want. Like, you can have a way that you like it. That's great. And it's good for us because it gives us a guide. But, you know, I don't know. It's just very different. Guys are they're a little cuckoo, believe it or not. They have a little cuckoo-ness.
I believe. I am never more neurotic than I am when I'm getting my hair cut. Like, you know me at my worst.
I know.
My shrink knows a better me than you do.
I know. It's okay, though. It's not that bad, Bri.
So but your advice would be don't micromanage your hairdresser?
That would be one. You know, I think that if we give off an air of not knowing what we're doing, then yes, I could see you being nervous and, you know, maybe being like, don't cut too much and whatever. But if it's very clear that we know what we're doing and we're confident and we're comfortable, then leave us be. Cause we know better than you usually.
See, I agree with you totally in theory. I feel like if I tell the person who's got the scissors, cut this a little more, okay, don't do this here and do that there, that it's just going to create a mess, that they're not going to be on top of their game, they're not going to be doing, like, they're not going to be able to achieve the vision that they see.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awful. But then at the end, I just regret it. I'm like, I knew she was going too short on the bangs. I knew it. I should have said something. I knew it. Not about you, of course.
But. No, of course not me. No. You know what, though? There's a little bit of a difference. I don't mean necessarily that, you know, you can't say, you know what, can you maybe go a little bit shorter, like while I'm cutting? It's not that. It's, there's these little weird tweaks, like there's literally a piece and I cut it and then the guy will say, oh, wait, oh, maybe a little shorter. Maybe, like, and I'm like, no. Listen, I just cut. Do you want, because here's another thing. If you tell me in the beginning that you want it very short, and then I cut it very short. And then you're like, oh, you know, I really just want to trim. This doesn't really happen, but I've seen
it happen.
That's
a little too short. Can you put some back?
Yeah, like, you know, it's just don't. I think my idea of what really short is and your idea of what really short is very different. So through experience, and I've been there, you know, I've been doing it for like almost a decade now. So
since you were 9.
Since I was like 9. No. God, don't I look young?
You do.
No.
But you're so mature at the same time.
I'm so mature. Yeah. No, not really. But I'm just saying that, you know, people's ideas are a little different. So it's my job to make sure that you and I are on the same page from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like that you know what an inch is compared to my inch
but
off.
Yeah. I think this is true with like ordering
the conversation
things
conversation women and men have to have
like
all
ordering
too often,
things in a restaurant.
Right?
Like people don't know what they want. They don't know how to articulate it. They can't.
I'm sorry, Hannah. Were you saying something?
I was saying that
Kirsten
people,
and I were just
sorry. You had a moment.
We went off track. We went off track.
Dirty
you totally
comments
had a moment.
Over here.
Well, that'll happen again this show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Downhill. I felt like the outside.
Okay, quick. We have to take a break. So, Hannah, what was your point?
Just that people don't have the words to express what they actually want, and this is beyond. It goes beyond just hair. It's
right.
Anything. Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. One person's long is another person's short, right. And
that's why whatever. Pictures sometimes can be good.
Yeah,
pictures.
Okay.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying they do help sometimes because you know, they'll give me an idea. Okay, that's what you're talking about.
I did that when I was getting my hair cut regularly by the same woman, and I said, you just need to watch Almost Famous, and then cut my hair, and then everyone will be happy.
Wait, the kid, the young kid?
No. All the guys.
Oh,
in the band.
Pretty much everyone.
All the guys in the band. All right, we're gonna take a short break. when we come back, will Obamacare cover blow drying? Regardless, Republicans will still be assholes. This is How to Behave.
You're listening to R&R by Peels on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years, so it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
We are back. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. We are talking today about how to behave when you're getting your hair did. So I have a concept I'd like to talk to the two of you about. It's called dry bar.
Mm-hmm. The blow dry bar?
The blow dry bar.
Mm-hmm.
Where apparently what they do is they dry your hair for $40.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That is it.
I'm a guy. I think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And... Every time I mention to a woman, they're like, nope, that's the best idea in the history of ideas.
Because it's not just they dry your hair, it's they work this alchemy that transforms your hair to looking normal hair, into looking shiny and pretty and fabulous, and then you feel fat, great.
And they give you a glass of champagne
while
they do it, right?
Sure.
All right, we have...
They even massage your head, but I think you have to pay like $5 for that or something.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They do that at John Allen's too, right, Bri? No, it comes with the
I
think it depends on who your beauty operator is.
Maybe not with me.
All right, we have a rare occurrence here on How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. We have a caller.
Woohoo!
Kim from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to How to Behave.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. I'm going to throw a little Southern in for you just to shake up the day.
Yeah, so you've been to Dry Bar?
I have. It's better than therapy. It's better than bourbon on some days.
Really?
Oh my God.
It comes in quite handy.
So explain to me in 5 sentences or less what is so awesome about Dry Bar.
Basically, for me, it gives me control over the things that I can't control, even though I want to control them. I have crazy curly hair, and I am not able to manage it. And so if I'm able to go in, sit down, pay $40, have somebody take over the thing that should be easy to control, and then I can go about my day, it's that much easier. Some people pay for dry cleaning. Some people pay for cleaning services. I pay to get my hair done.
I'm with you.
And how often do you go?
It really depends. Like, once every 2 months.
Okay, so this isn't a, like, once a week thing, or...
I'm not that girl, no.
This is a treat-yourself kind of experience.
There's a lot of those girls in New York, though. A lot of them get them all the time.
There are ladies here in D.C. as well that will do it. I'm just can't swing that. I would love to be that girl. And I would budget accordingly if... there was a need. It's more like, okay, I'm going to pop up to New York and I don't want to take an extra bag for my hair dryer and 30 other things. Then it works for that. Or, like I said, I've got a client meeting and I'm going to put my best foot forward. And, oh, by the way, I won't have to touch my hair again for 4 days. That then gives me an hour into my day that I don't have to mess with. I can do other things with.
All right. That's awesome. Hannah was saying something earlier today as we were getting ready about the economy, and the economy is not that bad if women are out spending $40 to get their hair dried.
Well, there was a New York Magazine article on businesses that are kicking ass because of the economy, and it says it's like a cliche, you know, lipstick does good because you want to feel good about something you can control when other things are not looking so hot. So I guess $40, it's all relative, but it's not a major investment. No. It's like cheaper than going to dinner.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you do, and you feel better about yourself.
There's also a human element to it as well. Personal grooming services and spa services all went up after 9/11 because people want to feel connected. And so there is that aspect as well. So if the economy isn't quite on the upswing, you're trying to make a change. And you have that, you know, small little pampering shoe, $40 on this versus $40 going out. You'll have a stronger return.
All right, now I understand it. Thank you for calling, Kim.
Sure, no problem. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
All right, before we run out of time, I'm going to talk about the things that today's episode is supposed to be about. So I go into John Allen's. And the first thing that happens is some guy walks up to me, takes my bag, takes my coat, and puts me in a smock.
Mm-hmm.
Then I check in and sit down, and then that same guy asks me if I want a drink.
Yes.
I usually go during the day, so I don't order a scotch or anything. I'll get an ice water or a cup of coffee. You guys serve alcohol there, right?
Yeah. They don't sell it, though.
It's just
they give it to you.
So if I say, yeah, I'll have a scotch on the rocks, it just comes.
No, well, there are places that do that. You can bring your own bottle, and they label it, and they leave it behind the bar, and then they have two beers on tap. They have, like, a light beer and a regular beer, but all that alcohol you see in the back bar is all the clients bring that.
So I just have to walk in and say, I'd like Mr. Smith's scotch.
Yeah, pretty much. You can just, like, make up a name.
Put it on the Underhills bill.
Pretty much. Yeah, people have done that, but,
okay, and am I expected to tip those guys who put me in a smock and take my coat?
You don't have, you know what the thing is, if a lot of them shoe shine, so if you get a shoe shine, you don't necessarily come in with...
I don't own shoes that need to be shined.
Right, therefore, you don't really, maybe throw them a couple bucks if they just put the smock on. If they get you a beer and stuff, if they're really nice and they help you out and stuff, then yeah, but nothing crazy. But if they shine your shoes, some guys go through like the whole rigmarole and they get their shoe shine and everything and they don't give the guys anything, and that makes them sad.
Okay, so then I get my hair washed by a beautiful Middle Eastern woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
All from the Middle East. Or not the Middle East. Sorry, the Eastern European.
They're all Russians.
They're all Russian. So one of my questions is, all the strippers at Hustler Club are also Eastern European? Is that a coincidence? Or
you know,
are they related?
They could be related. They could be like cousins or, you know, I don't know, somewhere in the distant.
I'm assuming the girls at Hustler Club don't need like a day job washing hair.
No, they really don't. I think they do fine shaking their booties.
Okay, but you don't know of any
feeding people steak. Don't they do that?
Okay. I don't know. I've never
done. Gotcha. I was waiting to see if you knew.
So then they wash my hair and they wrap my beard face in a warm towel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sit down and you cut my hair.
Yay.
And while that's happening, a woman gives me a manicure.
Right.
If I want. That's an optional service.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I leave and I pay.
Mm-hmm.
The whole tipping thing obsesses me. Like, I don't think as a customer I should have to, like, roll in with a bunch of singles and go around the place asking, which one of you washed my hair and what's the name of the woman who did my manicure in order to tip everybody. But I get the feeling that's expected.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. It also depends on your situation. Like, if you don't come in very often, if you come in like once every couple months or whatever, then, you know, maybe you can tip out like at least the manicurist, the shampoo girl and whatever. You don't have to, you know, that's the thing about tipping. You don't have to tip anyone if you don't want to, but you know, you might get a nail in the head next time you get a shampoo.
A really bad manicure.
Yeah. Like or a really quick manicure, but you know, I would say the guys that come in I have guys that come in every week, and you know I feel bad. Like I don't feel like they should have to tip everyone like $1 billion every time, because that's a lot of money at the end of the day, and they pay the membership fee because there's a membership fee there, and you know it ends up being a lot by the time they walk out. If you don't come in that often, then you know maybe you can hook a sister up a little bit, but you don't have to go crazy either. It just depends. It depends on how you felt about the service.
But you don't tip anybody out.
No, it doesn't work like that. It's like, so what guys do is, you know, those envelopes in the front, like you can either go up there and like separate it and do a manicure this with like the amount and this way we just split it at the end. You just write down what you
want
them to
get. What if I just write manicurist or hair washer?
Yeah.
It'll go to them have a pool?
If you don't know their name, then just write the time and who did your hair. Yeah. And then they'll know.
See, this is a big secret. Nobody told me any
of
that.
No, I wouldn't expect you to know. You just have to... Just gotta ask.
I asked you once.
I know.
in real life. I'm just doing this for everybody else's sake.
I know.
You know, okay. Some other random questions. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate for somebody to hit on or ask out their hairdresser?
I mean,
or is that like a line that you just don't cross?
I guess you know you could do it. I think if you have like a rapport with your hairstylist at some point and you get the vibe that that person is interested in you.
So you have to get the vibe first.
You have to get the vibe because we're just nice to everyone.
Well, right. We're really bad at telling the difference between you're doing your job and you're flirting with me.
Right. And, you know, we shouldn't overly flirt with you in anyway. Like that's not a good thing either. But I think you should wait until you see that there's some sort of thing going on where it seems appropriate. Honestly, I don't think John Allen would really want us to date our clients, period. But that's not to say it doesn't happen because, you know, we're only human. But as a hairstylist, I'll say it's never a great idea to date your
clients. I ask out
then once you've asked someone out, you got to live with that.
Well, I was going to say, if I ask her out and she says no, then do I have to change salons?
Right.
Right. Well, it depends. I mean, some guys have balls and they don't care and they'll go to you even after it doesn't work out or, you know, or they'll just go to someone else next to you in the chair next to you. It's all happened.
Okay. So that's another one of my questions. We have to talk really fast now because quiz is going to take 10 minutes. We have 2 minutes left. if you get your hair cut regularly by somebody and then for some reason you have to get somebody else, like your regular one is on vacation and you really like the replacement haircutters better, can you, how do you handle switching from the person you like but found, oh, God, this other person understands my hair better?
You know what? Honestly, that's more of the stylist, how mature we are as people. You know what I mean? If it happened to me, I would be okay with it because I want you to be happy. I want the customer to get the best haircut they feel. And it could just be a vibe thing. Maybe you just like talking to this girl better than you like talking to me.
And
maybe
do you want
guys
me
connect
to come talk to you about it first? Or do you want
to just
say
notice, hi to me.
Notice
no.
that I've been sitting across from you at Colleen for a while?
Well, if you really want to be on me, you know
Colleen's
me.
Colleen's my
so
new
it's
one
different.
Now that you quit.
I don't even know Colleen.
I think she replaced you.
Oh, bitch. She's new. I don't like her already. No kidding. No, you just got to be nice and say hi to me and come in and say what's up. Don't act like you don't know me. And then you can sit down on another girl's chair and I totally get it.
Because I did that a couple of times because I couldn't, you were too busy.
I know.
And I had a
my
thing.
Schedule
I needed
sucks.
My haircut. And so I sat right across from you and I felt like, I don't want you to think I don't like you.
No, I
just
know.
Really.
Well, I'm more like I'm cool with it. There's some girls that are kind of bitchy about it, but you know, that's their problem.
Okay. Joe, are you ready for the quiz?
Born ready, always.
We are about out of time, but really quickly, we're going to do the This Week in Behavior quiz. If you know the answer, shout out your name. I will decide who shouted out their name first in my sole discretion, and the winner gets the pride of winning. Okay. This week in the news, Paul Carrison passed away. He's famous for what? A, he had a goiter the size of a watermelon. B, his skin was blue. Or C, he was the first American to receive a face transplant.
Joe. B, his skin was blue.
That is correct.
What?
His skin was actually blue. Google it.
Colloidal silver, right?
Yep.
Come on.
We don't have time to get into the details.
Damn it. I really want to know.
Joe, kicking butt.
Republicans in the House of Representatives are insisting that the Affordable Care Act be defunded or the government will shut down because that is the will of the American people. What percent of the votes cast by the American people did those House Republicans receive in the last election? A, 56%. B, 51%. Or C, 45%. If you know me, it's sort of self-evident. The answer is C, 45%. The Republicans who say this is the will of the American people represent less than half of the American people.
I should have known that.
And the last question is in many parts. In August, a letter signed by a group of congressmen now known as the Suicide Caucus was sent to Speaker of the House John Boehner. The letter demanded that any bill before Congress include an amendment defunding the Affordable Care Act. The following questions are about those members of Congress. What percentage of House members signed the letter? Brian, 18%. What percent of all votes cast in 2012 House races do they represent? These are the people that say they're representing the will of the American people. Brian, 12%.
I was going to say zero.
They
just
represent
to be...
12% of the American public.
Jeez.
What percent of the population of the country do these House members represent? Brian, 18. That is correct. So,
Why are you so smart?
As I told you earlier, this was not really a quiz because I expected anybody to know the answers, but this is my way of educating people against their will.
Thank you, Brian.
What we call education rape.
Thanks, Brian.
Forcing ideas into your brain. But it is true. The members of Congress who are behind this movement to defund Obamacare and shut down the government if we don't do it represent 12% of the voting public. 12% of the American people, 18% of voters. So think about that next time they tell you that they're representing the American people. But that's all the time we have today.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
A big thanks to our guest today,
Kirsten Wagner.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Hannah Howard, who chooses her hair salon based on the brand of champagne they serve.
Thank you. Always.
The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at big5chord.com. Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show and winning the quiz with one correct answer. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser, and take my advice. Go online tomorrow and sign up for health insurance. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.